The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. and our Wednesday evening services at 7 p.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
All right, I want to give you a little bit different kind of message this morning than my usual scriptural-based messages. Not that this won't be scripturally based, but I've entitled it The State of the Church. The State of the Church. And let's pray as we get started. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just pray that as we study and fellowship around your word this morning, that you will cause us to understand your plan for this fellowship and for the church of Jesus Christ around the world. Inspire us with godly thoughts. Bring our attention to listen to you, and that we might hear your still, small voice speaking loudly to our spirit. Father, this is our prayer in Christ's name. And all the people said, amen. Amen. All right, good. Our scripture this morning, Revelation chapter 1, verses 10 through 13 and then 19 through 20. On the Lord's day, I was in the spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, write on a scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches in Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. And when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and among the lampstands was someone like the Son of Man. Write, therefore, what you have seen, what is now, and what will take place later, the mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand, and of the seven golden lampstands is this. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. Quite a bit of information there for us. We know that the State of the Union is important, as the president gives by law, must give a State of the Union each year, and it's important. But the truth is, we have very little influence over the State of the Union. I mean, just we've discovered through the years that our voices are just itty-bitty tiny voices. Unless you have a whole bunch of us together, it just doesn't seem to do a lot of good. But when it comes to the church, there's a vast difference about what is done in the church. Your prayers influence the church. When you pray, things happen. That's why we pray. That's part of that. That's why we have 21 days of prayer and fasting and giving at the beginning of the year, because our prayers are important. Your involvement in the church is important. Involvement. If you're taking notes, write that name, that word down. Put involvement, and behind it, write your name. Your involvement influences the church. Your love influences the church. The way you love God, the way you love one another, your vision of the church. All of these things have an influence on what takes place in this fellowship. God instructed John to write about the state of the church. In fact, Jesus gave the first State of the Church address. And if you haven't read this recently, I encourage you to go in and read. I'm not going to read all the information that was given to the seven churches. By the way, the number seven is completion. And really, what Jesus was doing was addressing all the churches at that time and for all time, which would include us. Okay? So there's lots we can learn about this passage of Scripture that we read, and we can look at it in some detail. We see that Christ is in the church. I know sometimes we pray for him. Lord, would you enter this place? He's here already. He's here in the presence of us, in us. And when we gather together, we are the collectively the church, and His divine presence is here. The other thing is that He knows what's going on. To each one of the churches, He said, I know. You know, and sometimes we feel, well, does God know? Does God see what's happening? Does God know what's going on in our church? Does He know what's going on in our individual lives? Sometimes we think, falsely, that God is on the other side of the universe, that He's so busy taking care of other people that He doesn't see us. And that is not true. He knows everything that's going on. Remember when He met Moses at the burning bush? He said, I've heard the cries of my people. They were far away in Egypt. He said, I've heard their cries. God hears our cries. The passage of Scripture that Gary just read on the back of that popcorn bag, you know, God knows. God's interested. He hears us. He collects our tears in a jar. All of our prayers resonate and resound within the throne room of God. God hears our prayers. God is interested in our lives. God wants to be a part of our lives. Jesus one day stood over Jerusalem by the temple area, and He said, Jerusalem, oh Jerusalem, how often I would have gathered you together as a mother hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you would not. And you could add to that, you would not believe, you would not come, you would not be involved. And he's saying that there's an open invitation to us. You know, it's Aubrey said that He offers things to us. He doesn't cram things down our throat. And ultimately, in the church, He holds us responsible for it. We are responsible for what takes place in the local church and the kingdom of God at large. The church is what we make it to be. We are responsible for it. And when you read all of the letters that He wrote to the seven churches, you see that He says, I know this, and He names all the good things. He said, but I have this against you, that you didn't do these things, or that you were doing things that you shouldn't do. So God is interested in the church. Now, I'm not talking this morning about your individual soul and the state of your soul. I'm talking about the state of the church. When I was in seminary, there was a guy who was a class I took about the local church. And one of the guys stood up and said, my church is a mess. He said, the people are so unruly. They don't listen to anything I say. You know, they're a hard-headed bunch. And he said, they don't give. You know, they don't pray. You know, he said, I don't know what to do with them. And the teacher, Dr. Humphreys, if I remember right his name, he said, how long have you been pastoring that church? He said, about 8 years. He said, it's not the church's fault, it's your fault. You're the problem, not them. He said, you better learn how to pastor a church and have an influence on them so that they can do what they need to do. The problem is you. You're not bringing that information in a way to them that they're receiving it and acting on it. He said, what are you preaching? And it was just great. I mean, we got a big roaring laugh out of it. But you know, it's true. It's true. So we need to realize that this church body is what we make it. And I include myself in that. So let's talk about a few things about the state of the church, all right? The first thing is, what is the state of the church? First of all, Jesus will never leave His church. Let's go back and look at this again. Write, therefore, what you have seen, what is now, and what will take place later. The mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand and of the seven golden lampstands is this. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. And the seven lampstands are the seven churches. God is interested in this thing called the church. So say, God, Christ died for the church. He established the church. He didn't create McDonald's. He didn't create Disney World. He didn't create some social organization. This is not a club. This is not a place where you pay dues and have membership. This is the church of God assembled together, a microcosm of the entire universal church. That's who we are. It has divine order. God places rules and regulations for us to follow. He gives us ordinances to follow. He gives us leadership to follow. He gives us instructions to follow. He is intimately involved in this church. And God cares about New Beginnings Church. You know how I know He cares about it? Because He established it. When God was speaking to my heart about starting this church, you know what I told God? I said, God, the last thing this church needs, this town needs, is another church. I just didn't think we needed another church in town. And He just spoke to me. He said, well, why don't you just build the kind of church that I'd build if I was doing it? I said, oh, well, okay, let's do it that way. That's why we do things a little different around here. I don't let you depend on your membership. Nobody in this group is going to depend on their church membership to get to heaven, because you would go straight to hell. There is no membership here. You know? That's why we don't take up an offering. I was talking to the new attendees group this morning. We don't take up an offering because I don't want you to give because you're embarrassed. Because the basket's passing by you, and you feel if the person next to you gave some money, that you feel compelled to give because they'll see what a cheapskate you are and didn't put anything in there. So we don't pass the basket. That's why we have it on the back wall. I can't tell you through the years how many people come up to me and said, how do you give money to this church? They don't hear you talking about money. They don't ever pass the basket. I said, it's on the back wall. Just go read that little sign. They'll tell you what to do. You know, tried to build a church based on the Word of God and the teaching of God. You know, that, and so that's what God ordained for me to do. His presence separates us from every organization on the planet. And there are some good organizations. You know, you can blow, there's lots of good things you can be a member of. You can be a member of a political party. You can be a member of some social organization. You can do a lot of good things, but it is not the church. You need to be in the church. Listen to me, in the church. Amen. And not like a chair. We have chairs in this church. Yeah. The only thing they do is hold you up. But you need to be in the church doing something. The chairs do their job and do a wonderful job. Nobody has fallen out of those chairs yet. They are holding it. And I was pretty smart. I didn't get plastic chairs. I got steel chairs. I want to make sure it would hold you up. And you wouldn't fall. You can depend on it. You could plop in these chairs and they won't fall because they're doing their job. The question is, are you doing your job? Do you know what your job is? Do you have a job? Or you just cruise in here and plop in one of these chairs and you just became a part of the chair and do nothing except sit and it holds you up. You get the point? You get the point?
Yes.
All right, good. God cares about your physical well-being, and He cares about your spiritual well-being, and He cares about this church's physical well-being and spiritual well-being. I'm going to give you some information. These are just some state of the church information. Fortunately, our attendance this year has increased, when I'm talking about 2013, over the year before. We are running somewhere between 35 and 40 people in the church, including those on the internet, on a weekly basis, all right? We had a high of 52. You know what that is? Pathetic. That's pathetic. Where are the folks? Nobody comes here because I am so wonderful. And I am. I'm the best preacher I know. I love to hear me preach. You know, I agree with most everything I say. You know, I like being the pastor of the church, you know. And they don't come here because I got a good-looking wife who is sweet and loving and caring and a prayer warrior and all those ones. They don't come because of her. They come because you bring them here. And that's the fact. You say, well, I don't know anybody to bring to church. Where are you living, in a vacuum? I know all of your kinfolks aren't in church. And we have special events and things that you can bring them where it's not just church stuff, but people come because people get invited to church. Pat and I used to, in another life, we belonged to an organization that, I would say taught people how to make money. It's not quite true. Taught us how to give us money. But it's a long story. I won't go into it. You know, I repented of that and got away from it. But we used to have what we called opportunity meetings. And these opportunity meetings, we had them all over the country. We had a private plane and a company that I was with, and we would fly from city to city, and we'd come in like gangbusters, and we'd have, you know, hundreds of people there, and we'd give this great opportunity for them to be there. And we'd tell them how they could make money by giving us money. It was a great idea. But one of the things they trained us to do is to bring people to the opportunity meetings, to bring them. And this is what they told us. If you invite somebody to come, and people most times say, well, I'll come sometime. Said, you know, I'm going to be in your neighborhood Sunday. Why don't I pick you up and bring you to the meeting? Or whatever day that it was. And they said, well, if you're going to be in the neighborhood, and of course our first response was, well, we're lying. They said, no, you're not lying. You're getting in the neighborhood because you're going to be there to pick them up. Doesn't matter where they are, just go get them. So if you invite somebody to church and they say, well, yeah, I'd like to come, you can say, well, I'll pick you up. They say, well, I'm on the other side of town. So I'll be over there anyway. I'll just pick you up. And you will be on the other side of town because you're going over there to get them and bring them. Sometimes you just got to bring them. If we wouldn't have brought people to the opportunity meetings, they would have never showed up. And sometimes people don't come to church because they just don't come. Do you know how many people I've driven to church and went and picked up and brought to church? When Pat and I first got saved, I had a big old Fleetwood Cadillac. I mean, it was American-made luxury. And you could put 40 people in that car. And what we did, we'd pick them up and we'd bring them to church. You know, that was the best way to get people to church. You know? They won't come by osmosis. And most people are very kind. You say, would you like to come to church Sunday? The pastor's preaching a wonderful message on whatever the pastor might be preaching on. And they say, oh, yeah, I'd like to hear that. I say, good, I'll pick you up. Well, that's deceitful. No, it's not. It's getting people in the building, you know, so they can hear the good news. People come because you invite them. If you don't invite anybody, all the people you don't invite won't come. I mean, they have to have a voice to invite them. So one of the things in order to grow the church is we need to invite people. Some of you theologians are saying, well, if God wants them here, he'll bring them here. Well, sometimes he needs to get somebody to bring them here. You know, sometimes they need a little help, you know, just to encourage them. I believe that people ought to be in church on Sunday. I believe that's true, and I think history has shown it to be true. How many times have you heard me say this? Jesus saves your soul and?
The church,
church will save your life. Just being in fellowship with one another does you good. Well, you can cry when you want to cry. You can laugh when you want to laugh. You can find somebody that will commiserate with you, or someone will rejoice with you. That's what the church does. That's what it's all about. Now, our finances have increased. We had the largest offering in 2013 that we've ever had. That is amazing. That is amazing. And I'm happy to spend it all on the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I promise you I will. This is just for those of you who don't know. I'll just give you this information. You say, well, that preacher wants all your money. No, I don't. I don't take any money. You know, I am paid by God. I found that God pays higher wages than the church does. Right? And I don't want to take a cut in pay. So I just don't receive any money. It's just the way I am. Maybe one day I will, but right now I don't feel the need to, so I'm not doing it. I do let you buy my gas for my car. You pay for all my gas. And you used to buy me a new computer every 3 years because those Windows computers don't last very long. But now I'm in the Apple group, and you really got an increase in pay from me because I haven't bought a new computer every 3 years like I normally do. Another couple of reasons for that. I ran over one of my computers, which I was going to do this year, with my car, and I had to get a new computer. Insurance company paid for it. So there you go. God just took care of that. Bless the church. Yeah, you saw that commercial. All right. God gave us a radio station. Out of the blue, somebody gave us a radio station. I felt about the radio station the way I felt about starting the church. The last thing I need in the world is a radio station. Well, we got it, and we're moving forward with that. Some of the details that we were holding us up have been overcome, and we are moving forward with the radio station, and I'm really getting excited about that. And I'm going to show you something about that in a little bit. Connection has been an outstanding success. I mean, it's really been great. We've had new people come. I can't wait to get it back outside again. We had our best crowd when we were outside in the parking lot, and people showed up. It was just really great. For those of you who don't know, that's the first Friday, or is it second Friday? Second Friday of every month, which will be this coming Friday, on Valentine's Day at 7 o'clock. Come here. It'll be a great worship and prayer, and it's just an awesome time. GLOW has done well, reaching out to those in need. Just an outstanding ministry. My Hope America, I reluctantly drug my feet, but Fran wouldn't let me drag them too much. She got involved, and that was a good success. And it's really spurred her to do some other things, and she's going to start teaching a class at the 27th, 28th, okay, about the fruit of the Spirit. I encourage you to get involved. She's going to teach it twice on Friday night and Monday morning. So if you can't make it Friday night, you can make it Monday night. Okay, same time. And that's in the bulletin. You'll get all the information about that. And we have weathered the attacks of the enemy. The enemy came in just in a million different ways this past year, and we're still here swinging our sword, you know? And, that is great. It's just been a battle. We've had some really, really hard battles this past year, but we withered them all. Weathered them. We thought we'd wither, but we weathered them. All right. Now, let me go back a little bit to the scripture. It talks about the angels of the church. Some of you think those are fluffy little fat guys with wings flying around with bows and arrows. That is not the angels he's talking about. He's talking about the messengers, which would be a better translation, the bishops, or in our term today, it's talking about the pastor of the church, all right? The angel of the church is the pastor of the church. It's just it's really a poor translation that they used that. And I looked in a bunch of different translations, and many of them seem stuck on that word. I wish they changed that. Some translations have. It's really the messenger of the church, the pastor of the church. Okay? Now, let me tell you about the angel of the church, Saint Angelo. You have an angel called Saint Angelo, all right? I've enjoyed good health this year. I'm in great shape. I would have thought that I would have stopped doing this a long time ago, but I'm here and in good health and in good spirits, and I believe I'm going to continue on until such time as the Lord tells me not to do it. Much to my own personal consternation, I thought by now I'd be drinking mint juleps somewhere on the beach enjoying life, but here I am preaching the word in this church, and I'm loving every minute of it. Which, by the way, some of you need to stop believing everything you read on Facebook. Those of you who don't go to Facebook will have no idea what I'm talking about. The rest of you will understand what happened this week. Facebook, for some reason, they like to have information about you. So when I made my first Facebook page, I put that I was a senior pastor in the Beginning Church. Facebook changed the software. And they put a little box in the software that you have to check that it's your current position. I didn't know that. I didn't change it. I mean, I go to Facebook once a month, maybe. I'm not addicted to Facebook. And it said, unbeknownst to me, that I was the former pastor of New Beginnings Church. And somebody wrote on Facebook, and it came to me, "What's going on? Why are you the former pastor?" So being the good-humored guy that I am, I put, "What? Have I been fired?" You know, and just, you know, and I didn't know that the committee, man, I just put a bunch of crazy stuff. Well, people thought it was real. So I got more emails. Wanted to know what happened, what's going on, you know. So trying to be humorous, I put a long, Pat said, "Don't do it." I'm doing it anyway. I wrote this thing and said that I met with the board to talk about my position here. And the board members are the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I thought everybody would kind of figure that out, all right? And that the board said that they love me and that my pay was still intact, that my benefits hadn't been removed. I still had my mansion in heaven. You know, I still had my crown in the vault in heaven. I just said all kind of foolish stuff because that's most of what's on Facebook. People took it serious. So I got more email. I just decided I'm not saying another thing. Don't believe it. I'm not going anywhere. Nobody fired me. I can't be fired. The only way you can fire me is to leave. You have to fire yourself. I'm not going anywhere. You can have a vote. It wouldn't mean a thing. I am in control here. I own. I am it. I am the pastor. You can't have a committee meeting. You can't get rid of me. You understand that? Nobody can fire me. The only thing you can do is get mad at me and leave. I say, well, what kind of church is that? It's the kind of church you ought to have. The church is a theocracy. It's not a democracy. You know, the pastor ought to be able to control the church. And I control it all. You say, well, you're a control freak. No, I'm not a control freak. I just believe that's the way the church ought to be. I've seen so many pastors get damaged by people who thought they had the power in the pew to throw the pastor out. It wasn't time for the pastor to leave. You say, well, what if he's a no good so-and-so and he ought to leave? Leave the church. Go somewhere else. Well, I got my money invested in that church. Leave your money and go. Go somewhere else. It's not your job to fire the pastor. It's God's job to fire the pastor. And he's pretty good about doing that. Remember Ananias and Sapphira? Had a nice funeral for those guys, all right? Pastor, if God wants to get rid of me, he can have a funeral anytime. No amens on that, all right? So I just want you to know that I am here. Your angel is here. And if you're waiting for my replacement, you'll wait forever. I'm not going anywhere. I tried to find a replacement. I hired 3 assistant pastors in the church, and they all left me. I am here by myself. Nobody wants the job. So here I am. I'm still doing my thing. Okay. And I still hear from God. God speaks to me, tells me things about this church. He leads me to lead this church. Man, I am 74 years old. Oh, well, this year, I thought I was 75. I counted wrong. About a month ago, I found out I was a year younger than I thought I was. And I'm in good shape. I can dance. I can shout. I can scream. You know, I feel good. I have nothing wrong with me. I only got one arm, but here I am. So the state of the angel is good. Amen. Woo! Hallelujah. That Facebook is crazy. We need to get rid of that. That's an abomination. All right, moving on. We've had a major impact in Slidell. In the beginning of 2012, the Lord God spoke to my heart. You've heard this. You just get busy in Slidell. We have done some wonderful things in Slidell. And I include you in it. You might say, well, I didn't do that. Yeah, you did. But being here and being a part of this fellowship, you know, you give me the courage to go out and do things. I do things... the mayor's prayer breakfast, that is, you know, in great part because of you guys, all right? And when we went to the prayer breakfast, I bet you there wasn't a church in town that had more people represented from their congregation than we had from this church. And I applaud you for it. I thank you for coming. And you were there. That is a big deal. We have an annual prayer meeting. We have a monthly prayer meeting. I'm with the mayor every month. You know, to me, that's like being with the president of the United States. I mean, he's the number one elected official in this community, and I know him by name, and he knows me, and we're buddies. We hug and pray. I mean, it's really, really cool. But I'm having influence in the right place, and I've got a plan. I got to talk to the mayor. I hope he's not listening. Well, it's okay. He can listen. I'll talk to him when I see him. I want to have a gathering of all the mayors of the community who went up and prayed, you know, read the prayers at the annual prayer breakfast. I want to meet with those guys like maybe once a quarter and have a prayer meeting like we have with the mayor. We actually pray. I mean, a real prayer meeting. We pray. Okay. We've expanded. The newspaper, the Slidell Independent newspaper, is growing. God is so cool. He drove the other paper in town out of business so that the only people who can get a local newspaper, they have to read the Slidell Independent. Great for Kevin Cherry, he's a great Christian brother, but great for us in the gospel because I'm reaching more and more people with the newspaper and the articles that I write every week. I mean, it's expanding. I mean, any other, I got to be kind, the other pastors in town who don't feel led and inclined to write in the newspaper aren't getting any space. And I'm inclined, and I write every week. If everybody wanted to do it, I couldn't be in there every week. And every week, I'm reaching this town. And I've told you this before, but it always amazes me. It seems like no matter where I go, somebody says, oh, man, I read your article. I'm clipping it out. I'm saving them. I sent it to this person, that person. Gee, wow, how cool. My English teacher would be so proud of me, who used to flunk me every semester. You know, so I don't know. It's so cool. Gary Charles is writing for the newspaper now. He's part of this fellowship. I mean, he's bringing the messages, and Gary is so willing. He lets me proof his stuff and make suggestions, and so I make sure he doesn't go off the deep end, you know. So it's, you know, it's kind of like an echo to my voice, except he's got his own unusual way of saying things that I love. I mean, that is great. I am working. I think I told you this, but just to let you know, that the book that I plan on publishing this year is in its final stages. I hope they have it done next couple of weeks. You know what it is? It's all the newspaper articles that I've been writing in book form and a handbook. It'll be indexed by subject and by scripture. It'll be a great thing for people to have. You know, if you have a problem with finances, they'll be able to open up to finances and find some grace information. In fact, the title of the book is Grace Thoughts. Grace Thoughts. That's pretty simple, all right? I wanted something simple. A 21-day fast, a really great participation. More people participated in this church this year than have done so before. Most of you were touched and encouraged and through the fast. And through our influence and encouragement, we had Community Christian Church for the first time join with us. They had 95 people fasting with us right here in this town. There are other churches, but that one's doing it because Bob Rouse is a friend of mine. And I dogged him so bad and told him how wonderful it was that he finally got his pastor to agree to do it. So that's our influence. So we're having great impact on Slidell. We're having visions and dreams. We're seeing things. God's speaking to us. It's vibrant. It's alive. And God will never leave us. He is a part to be here. And we have every reason to believe that we are here to stay. That we're a body and a fellowship that will be here to stay. Amen?
Amen?
All right, good. Isn't that good? I love this, giving a report to the church. All right, what's the next thing? Jesus knows everything about his church. Revelation chapter 2, verse 2. I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. Verses chapter 2 through 3:14, and you can go read these all for yourself. He uses, I know your hard work, your service, your affliction, your poverty, your faith, and love, and on and on and on. He says all the things that he knows about us. God knows everything about this church and every other church, and he knows everything about you. He knows. He is aware. He is cognizant of what's happening. There's a long list of things that he says that he knows. He knows our hard work. Let me tell you what. Got some of the hardest working people I've ever seen in the church right here in this fellowship. People are doing things. They're wearing me out. I'm going to all these meetings, you know. Well, we want to have meetings. I don't like meetings, you know. I try not to take up your time. Well, the leadership wants to have a meeting. The worship team wants to have a meeting. We need to talk about this. We need to talk. You know, it's getting so that I'm in church almost every night doing some kind of meeting. This is good. It's not good on my body, but it's good for the church. It shows that something good is going on. We're working hard. We're serving. We're trying to do the best that we can. God knows the hardships. He knows the poverty. He knows what we need. And he is involved in our lives. The most repeated word used in the letters to the churches is deeds. He said, I know your deeds. We're not saved by our deeds. But we should be doing some deeds. So what is the church doing? I want to show you something. You've seen this before, but I want to bring it up to your attention. Whoa, no, no, no. Did I not make a slide for this? Oh, yeah, there it is. When I first started the church, I wanted to have a purpose for our existence. You know, what order we? What do we do? Most churches you go in, you would ask a question, why is your church here? And we say, oh, to win souls. Well, you know, that's, you know, great. I have no objection to that. And how are you doing that? What are you doing? What is your plan? How are you accomplishing your goal? And what I have up here on the screen is I prayerfully spoke to God about, and God spoke to my heart. And this is what you may have seen this. It's in virtually every document we have. It's in the bulletin. It's everywhere. You might have not paid any attention to it. New Beginnings Church is a place where you can. Everybody say me. All right, you. Where you can begin anew. This is a place where you can start again. The name of this church is not New Beginning Church. It's New Beginnings, plural. You can start over again. Even if you stumble and fall, we'll help you get back up and you can still keep on going, all right? We want you to keep renewing. It's a place where you can start over. Well, church has always been a disappointment for me. Things have never worked out for me. It's always been a bother. You can start over again with your walk with the Lord, your place in this church. That it can be done. And I want everyone to understand that they can start anew. To bring honor to God. Your life needs to bring honor to God. If what you're doing isn't bringing honor to God, stop it. Let him who stole, steal no more. You know, if any part of your life doesn't bring honor to God, just get rid of it. Cut it out like a cancer and remove it. Say, oh, well, it's so hard to do. Well, it's hard for everybody to do. But you keep at it, and you keep at it until you finally start getting the victory on it. I remember when I tried to quit smoking. Man, what an ordeal that was. I wish I'd have never started smoking them stupid things. And I just couldn't stop. I couldn't stop. I couldn't stop. I crumpled up cigarette packages and threw them away, dug butts out of the ashtray on the way home from church and smoked a little stinking butt because I had to have a cigarette. I just couldn't quit, but I kept at it, and I kept at it, and I kept at it until finally one day God spoke to my heart when I was lighting up a cigarette and I was taking a big, long drag on it. You smokers know what I'm talking about. About to inhale it, and God said, if you put that cigarette down, you'll never have to pick up another one again. And I knew it was the voice of God. I went, blew that smoke out of my mouth. I put that cigarette down. I stepped on it. I've never touched a cigarette from that day, and I've never had an urge to smoke a cigarette again. None. Zero. Zip. None. Well, God loves you more than he loves me. No, I'm just persistent about it. I tried to do it and tried to do it and prayed about it and kept at it until I finally got the victory. I encourage you to do it, whatever it is you, whatever your problem is. Well, I just can't stop eating. I just can't stop being mean. I can't stop drinking. I can't stop, you know, just list all your problems. Yes, you can. As long as there's life in you, you can get victory over these things, but you can't give up. You got to stay with it. Don't quit just because it's not going well. You can do it, and it'll bring honor to God. It's a place where you build relationships. This is not the place where you bump against each other and go home and forget about each other. This is a fellowship. It's a place where you get to know people. You know, find out what they're like. Some of you don't have a clue what the people on the other side of the church are like. You need to go over there and talk to them. Do you know why we have fellowship after every church for you to drink coffee and juice and have little snacks? It's not because you're hungry. Oh, you got to have coffee. You know how many years I went to church and never had a cup of coffee because they didn't serve it? No, you don't need to have that. We do it with a purpose. The purpose is for you to stay here and fellowship and go up to somebody. Oh, hi. My name is Morris. What's your name, darling? Rose. Oh, well, hi, Rose. So nice to meet you. Well, you look like a gal from New Orleans. Are you from New Orleans? Yes, sir. And you talk to people. And you don't talk to the same people all the time. You go find somebody you don't know. Oh, gee. Oh, what's your name there, buddy? I don't think I've met you before. I'm Pastor Morris. Hi, Tommy. Nice to meet you. You look like you're doing all right. Got a big old smile on your face. Okay. What kind of work do you do, Tommy?
Whatever I can.
Whatever you can. That's the kind of guy I like to know. You find out about people. Your best friend may be in this church and you don't even know it yet. You know? Build relationships. That's what it's all about. And I'm going to tell you in a few minutes about how to help that, encourage that. Don't let anybody walk in the doors of this church and walk out without you talking to them. I'm going to be even one of my, this is one of the things I have against you. People will come here and they'll sit down in the pew. And everybody's buzzing around. Hey, how you doing, friend? So good to see you. Oh, you look so cute. I just love you so much. You know, I got a shirt I need you to fix for me. You know? And I'm over here talking. And there's this poor person who came in here looking for a church fellowship where they can be happy and meet people. They're sitting over there just trying to read the bulletin, you know, or just looking at the back of the chair or something. And you're not paying a bit of attention to them. When there's a new person in this church you don't know, you get yourself over there and you tell them, hello. I don't care if you have to stand in line. You make sure you know their name and they know who you are. Because they'll feel accepted. People need to feel accepted. If you go to the new attendees class, which I'm going to talk about next week, for those of you who are going to it, you'll find out what you're supposed to do. Get to know people. Let them know that you care about them. Because I know you care. Well, I don't like to talk to strangers. Well, get over it. They won't be strangers long if you just talk to them. All right? That's just build relationship with other believers. With other believers. That's what the church is about. I'm not talking about outside the doors of the church. I'm talking about inside the church here, what we're supposed to be doing. And find God's biblical blueprint for your life. What does God want you to do besides sit on these steel chairs? Do you know? Do you have a clue? Have you thought about it? I encourage you to read a book. Rick Warren's book, the number one selling book that I know of in America other than the Bible in forever, is A Purpose-Driven Life. Read that book. It'll help you think about what God wants you to do with your life. All right? Find out what it is. If you sing, sing. If you dance, dance. If you cook, cook. If you clean, clean. If you fix, fix. Whatever it is, find out what God wants you to do. Wants you to go out into the streets and witness. To be a friend. Go to the nursing home. There's a million things that can be done. And if you got technical ability, we've got more technical stuff around here than you can imagine. Run wires. Make cameras work. And when the radio station gets here, we even got more to do. Find out what God wants you to do. Well, I don't know what God wants me to do. Well, you've been saying that long enough. Find out. So that you may bring hope to your generation. This is the evangelism part. This world needs some hope. This world needs some hope. They're not getting it on Fox and O'Reilly and Kelly and whoever else is on TV bloviating every day. They're not going to get any hope there. The only hope there is in this world is the Lord Jesus Christ and you bringing that message to them. Fran's going to be teaching a class. Whether you go or not, you say, well, I know everything there is to know about the fruits of the Spirit. Well, maybe your mother doesn't know, your brother doesn't know, your husband, your wife doesn't know. Why not just bring somebody to the class? A non-threatening environment where they can sit down and learn something from a very nice lady who will teach them. No, you can't. I'm talking right now. You be quiet. I'm preaching. It is the fruit of the Spirit. Yeah. Okay. Friend, she keeps me in line. She's doing such a good job. I need to be kept alive. Bring hope. The world needs hope. And the only place they're going to get it from is us. And if we had a class on fixing motorcycles, I could probably get somebody to come. Well, good. We'll find somebody who knows how to fix motorcycles, and we'll bring them in there and pray over the motorcycle and then work on it. I mean, if that's what it takes, we'll do whatever we need to do to bring hope. But did you get the point? I want to go back to the beginning of this statement. Where you can. Don't be looking at me to do it. What about what you can do? Not what I can do. I'm only limited to what I can do. But it's about what you can do. My job is to enable you and to help you and inspire you and to be supportive of you for the things that you want to do. I can't do everything. I love the GLOW ministry. I think it's great. Denise and George and everybody involved in that, gal, whoever, I'm going to miss somebody who's involved. That's awesome. I'm not going out on the streets. Not that I can't, not that I haven't, not that I wouldn't. But why should I do what somebody else can do when I can have the time free to do what I know how to do that you can't do? That's the point. That's the point. I was talking to a gal this week who was talking about someone that she worked for, who did everything. They answered the phone, they wrote the bills, they did everything. And this gal said to her, why don't you get somebody else to do that so you can do the stuff that only you can do and build this business? He said, no, I'm not giving this up. They didn't want to give it up. You give things up, let other people do it so you can do what you know how to do. That's how you build things. Get someone else to do it for you. All right? Bring hope to your generation, not anybody else's generation, but this generation. What about our people? You know, and sometimes we talk about kids and say, well, they're the next generation. They're our generation. Yeah, you know, I know I keep repeating myself, but I'm so in love with Raina up there playing. And just, and Steve's doing such a good job. He must have a million drums. He keeps bringing in drums, trying to get one her size, and he's over there helping. How awesome it is that a little nine-year-old now, she's nine, she was eight, she just made nine, is up here in our worship team. Said, well, we ought not have kids up there. Well, you just have to fire yourself then. Because we're going to have kids up here. I think it's great. And if we had enough kids, we'd have a kids worship team. But we don't have enough, so we're going to put the kids with the big folks. I was going to say the old folks, but I'll just say the big folks. All right. This right here, this statement. God gave me this when we started the church. I wanted everyone to know they could come home when they're all is forgiven. It's on everything we do. When I say home, I'm talking about coming back to the Lord. And one of the best places to come back to the Lord is in the local church. Bring people to church. Now, some churches I've been in, you didn't want to bring people to. But this church you can bring them to. They'll be loved and cared for and watched over and nurtured and inspired, and their needs will be met. That's what we do here. And we want people to know that all is forgiven. Well, you know, I live like a bum all my life. You know, you don't know where I've been. I've been married 14 times. And, I don't care. God cares about everyone. There's not a sinner that he's not willing to forgive. You remember that woman at the well? Man, nobody wanted to talk to that gal. She was the scum of the earth as far as they're concerned. And for a Jew to go see a half-breed Samaritan was one of the worst things you could do. Jesus said, I must go to Samaria. And his disciples said, what's he talking about? Nobody goes there. And he went there. And he met a woman who had a lot of problems. And he met her needs. People have needs. It's our job to help them. Do whatever we can. I want people of, I don't care what race they are, what they've done, where they've been. It just doesn't matter. The doors are open to anyone and everyone that can come here and feel at home. I had a lady one time did want to come to church because she didn't have the right kind of clothes. What's the right kind of clothes? I don't know. As long as you don't have a plunging neckline and a rising skirt, I don't care. You know, if you got one, we'll get you a blanket and cover you up. All right? Okay. Where am I? I got so carried away with that. Oh. Since we're embarking on this great radio adventure, Jim, I see you sitting here.
Mike's ready.
Mike, can Mike do it?
He can.
Can you do it, Mike? I want you to hear something. This is just a preview of some things that we're going to do on the radio. Let it go. Wait a minute. Just hold it. There's nothing to see. Oh. You're listening. Oh, it's terrible. You're listening to WGON-LP, Grace Radio, proclaiming the finished work of Jesus Christ to Slidell. That's us. That's what we're going to do. That's what we've been broadcasting. And the music is, we're trying to put the music together. I want something that's got a catch to it, that gets people's attention, that when they hear it, they'll think Grace Radio, Grace Radio. And if they think Grace Radio, they'll tune in and listen. And we're going to change the profile of the WGON LP radio station, 103.7, on your FM dial, to not only just music. We're not going to discontinue all the music, but I want people to be able to listen in their homes, in their cars, wherever they are, and hear the message of the finished work of Christ.
Amen.
That's our goal, and that's what we're going to do, all right? And we're already working on how to get that accomplished. That's pretty good. I like that. I like that. We play it again? No, I'm just kidding. All right. We need laborers. We need laborers. If you can work in the media room, if you can copy DVDs and CDs, I mean, it's not, you got to put labels on stuff and make copies. Those guys back there get so busy. I mean, it'd be great. That could be your job. Every Sunday after services, as soon as I say the amen, go back there and start making copies of all this stuff. If you know electronics at all, if you can work with gadgetries, we've just got more gadgets back there than we need, but we need people to work on those things. And we're getting more, he said. I know. I can't believe I did that. I actually gave him a budget to do something. I did, and it's a big budget, too. They're working on a sound system. Let me tell you why we're working on a sound system, because what we hear in this room is awesome. But what's getting out is not awesome. To nobody's fault. It's just that there are better ways to mixing it. We had a big meeting Friday discussing some things, and we're starting to incorporate these new things, and they're going to have some new equipment to accomplish that, so that when somebody listens, which they do, and they listen to our broadcast or they tune in later, and when they hear the worship music, we want them to say, that is good. That is good. They either want to listen to it some more, or if they're in town, they'll come here and listen to it live. So that's our plan. That's what we're doing. All right. If you know how to repair stuff, if it's broke, fix it. Look at this building the way visitors look at it. They see everything that's wrong. You don't see it because you're so used to seeing it. There's stuff in this building that's broke. It needs to be fixed. How many of you have looked up there and see that pipe? It used to be painted, but we changed it out. It's got galvanized on it. You know who sees that? Visitors see it. You know? How many of you, when you walk to the men's room of the office and you walk through here, you notice that you see raw cement where the sill should be? There's no, if that's the right word, it's a little sill. You know, it's not there. We don't have one there. I never see that. You know who sees it? The visitors see it. It's all the stuff that needs to be done. That we do a good job, the guys are doing, I'm not complaining, but if you know how to fix stuff, you know about stuff, talk to Mike and George, they're the guys responsible for the building, and help, and just do what needs to be done. something new I want to start. Nobody knows about this but me. This is a new thing. Last week, now this is easy, this is going to be fun for most of you, and say, amen, finally something I can do. A couple of weeks ago, some folks came over for coffee. I invited two couples over to have some coffee. You weren't invited if you weren't there by design, because I wanted to have a small little group, and we just had some coffee together. And it was just a nice little fellowship for about an hour and a half, no big deal. And I thought, gee, that'd be a great thing for us to do. Why don't we start doing that? You know, and we're going to organize it for you so that we'll know who's going to do it and where they're going to do it. So you just invite some people over to your house. Not a crowd, not to eat a big meal, but just to have some coffee or drinks, and just sit down and chit-chat for a little while outside of this church environment. It's a good way to have fellowship, all right? So we're going to do that. We're going to find somebody to head that up. I already know who I think I want to do it, but I'm not going to say their name publicly, because if I did, they would kill me, all right? So, but that's something we're going to do, so that maybe on a weekly or a semi-weekly basis, people will be invited. You don't have to be structured as to what day of the week it is, but you'll just get together and meet with people. I haven't been in some of your homes. You know why? You never invited me. If you invite me, I show up. Everybody who invited me, have I come to your house? When I get invited, you don't invite me, I don't show up. I'm willing, but I don't like to barge in on people. So, the same way some of you haven't been to my house, you know, because you're not going to barge in. You get invited, we're going to do this. We're going to have a nice way of just simple, non-expensive fellowship with one another, okay? Sound like an idea? You didn't sound too excited. I'm excited about it. We're going to try it, okay, and see how it works. We need greeters. We need people who want to greet people. If you can't smile and be friendly, I don't want you to greet anybody. But if you can be smile and be friendly, we're going to make up. We used to have a list of people that would do it so we could rotate them. We're going to do that again. We have visitors' bags that need to be filled. We need to have the CDs in there and all the material. And so they're ready so that when guests show up, we can give them. I don't think we have any ready right now, do we? No, we don't even have any. If you were a guest for the first time, you won't get it with a nice cup. I mean, a really nice simulated aluminum cup. God only knows what it's made out of. It's guaranteed to last for 2 cups of coffee. You know, no, actually, it's a really nice cup, those of you who got it. So we need to pack those in a bag and to stand at the door and greet people and help them get in. By the way, just as a side note, you'll notice that that door is hard to open. It's not because we can't fix it. It's fixed that way on purpose so the kids can't get out. We don't want the kids pushing the door and getting out. So that's a little safety feature that we have. Okay. The radio station, I'm not sure what we're going to need help with, but cleaning, answering telephone, and that a new word in my vocabulary, underwriting. You know what underwriting is? It's money. You know, to underwrite it. It's like PBS. It's a station where we can't charge for things, but we can ask people to make donations to the station. You know what? This program is brought to you by, you know, the ABC company and listeners like you, you know, kind of thing. You've heard that on PBS. Okay. There is, on the back table, on each one of the tables, sign-up sheets. And there's all these areas I just spoke about. There's a little column. Put your name on it, legibly, print it so I can see it, telephone number, email, the best way to get in touch with you, and just check off any one or multiple things that you might be interested in doing, and we'll see if we can find a place for you. Okay? Now, the third thing is, got to turn it around the other way. There we go. Jesus entrusted the church to his church. Jesus entrusted the church to his church. Revelation 1:19, write therefore what you have seen, what is now and what will take place later. What is now and what will take place later. The church has a past, and we all know the past. It has a present, which is today, and it has a future. What is the church going to look like in the future? Is it going to be small like this, or is it going to be large? Are we going to have a lot of rich folks? Or a lot of poor folks? But we have a lot of young people or a lot of old folks? Is it going to be a church that is working or a church that is remembering the way things used to be? All right? We are the stewards of this church for the next generation, you know, for the next people who come in here. And the way we make it is the way that it'll continue on as we set the bedrock for it and put in place things that'll work. The attitude of today will be carried over to the future. If we're a loving church, we love our brothers and sisters, and we're interested in them, guess what? The new folks will come in, will be just like that. They'll be loving and caring and interested in other people. If we're keeping the faith and we keep proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and him alone, the message of grace, if we keep doing that, if you understand it, and I understand it as a pastor, or someone comes after me and they will continue that same message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the finished work of Christ. How we do it today will make a difference, will be the way that it goes into the future. Giving cheerfully, not just a tithe. It's not just a tithe, it's giving, which you do. And I'm saying anything negative, but the way we give, people will understand that this is a giving church. I try not to charge people for things. We don't charge you for all the CDs that you get out here. And everything we do is expensive, but we don't charge for it. We just want to have all those things supported by gifts, financial gifts from the congregation. Okay? Now, what you do sets the stage and becomes a model for the future. And one of the things that we have to do is Jesus said, I have this against you. It's timeliness. Timeliness. When visitors come to the services at 10 o'clock and they sit here and 90% of these chairs are empty because you're not here, it is a crummy testimony to those visitors. They say, what kind of church is this? There's nobody here. And then they turn around afterwards and they look at it, and a lot of you folks are here because you came in late. That's terrible. You ought not do that. If you got to be at the doctor's office, you get there on time, right? If you had an appointment with the banker and he was giving you money you get there on time. Yeah. Except if you were a bride, if you were going to a wedding, your wedding, you'd be there on time. The bride is always allowed to be late. In that case, that one case. Maybe that's a temple for things to come. I don't want to go there. Friends, I don't push on you very much, as I don't like to push on you, but I'm telling you, the timeliness of this church is a disgrace. You need to be here. If the services start at 10 o'clock, you ought to be here 10 minutes to 10.
Amen.
There's things to do. You want to greet people? I mean, we love to greet people. And let me tell you what happens. Because you come in late, you want to greet people when it's the time for greeting is over. And it's disruptive. All right? So you want to come here early so you can greet people. And we do a lot of things so that we can have quiet when the service begins. You know, I almost need a lightning rod to get some of you to be quiet so the services can start. We've done a lot of things to help you. You probably haven't realized it. We have a clock. What is it, 5 minutes before, Jim? The countdown clock starts up on the screen. Watch it. When it says 5 minutes, you know, you only got 5 minutes. And it'll start going down, 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 down. When it gets down to about 10 seconds before the services start, they flash in the lights. We did that. We figured that would get your attention. Some of you don't pay any attention to it. And you don't even take a breath between your sentences. When those lights are flashing, that means shut up and sit down. All right? I don't know any. I could be, you know, it is time for you to retire to your seat, the steel chair, so that you can be ready for the service to start. No, you need to shut up and sit down. You know, it's time to be quiet because things are about to happen. We have the shofar. One of the reasons we blow the shofar is not so Don has a chance to blow hot air. We do that to let you know the service is beginning. It's time. The worship team, we've worked with them. They're up there getting ready for the service, going through some of the music. And then at the end, they start playing music to get your attention. That, you know, it's time, it's time, it's time. The shofar is blown. It's time. I stand up to speak and pray. Shut up and sit down. I don't know how else to put it, folks. I'm just being honest with you. They say, well, you're hurting my feelings. Well, maybe your feelings need to be hurt because you're hurting my feelings. All right? I want you to be here on time. And, you know, when you work hard all week, and I want to talk about the worship team. These guys are working hard. They're here every Thursday practicing. They're working on stuff, trying to make things better. The sound people are working, the video people. Everybody's really working so that when you come in this building, you have a good experience. But you know how it feels for all these guys to be up there and they start off the first song and there's only 5 or 6 people in the building? That's encouraging, isn't it? It really just builds you up on your faith. Just get here on time. Well, I can't do it. You know, I try and I can't do it. Don't you lie to God. Don't lie to me either. You can. It's something that you can do. You don't need to make multiple trips to the coffee pot. You can live without coffee till the services are over. You don't need to have it. Now, I know of you, some of you need your coffee because it's the only thing that's keeping you awake. If you got to have it, it's okay. But if you bring a cup of coffee in here, don't leave and go fill your cup. All right? Stay in here. It may be that I have something for you to hear. You know? And you walk out in the middle of it. Do you know how many years I went to church and never had to go to the bathroom? Because my mother would have killed me. Not to mention somebody else. If you got to go before you get here. Now, if you've got a medical problem, I understand medical problems, but unless you've got a medical problem, when you get here, stay here. I didn't want to say it again. Just stay here. It's my amen corner over here. Now, don't walk out here saying, oh, well, the pastor's just being so mean. I'm trying to help us, friends, because what we build is what we teach other people. if we won't be on time when other people come and think, well, I don't need to be there on time either. And I think this is important. I don't have church on Sunday. You know why we don't have services on Sunday night? Some of you have no clue. Think, well, because you're one of them liberal churches that doesn't have liberal churches on Sunday night. No, I'm not a liberal church. We don't have church on Sunday night because I want you to spend time with your family. You know, and I don't want to wear you out in church. I want you to spend time. Go out. Go do something. Go to a movie. Go to Starbucks. Go wherever you go when you have fun. Go do that. I don't want you to be having to rush back to this place. But I don't mind taking up as much time as I need to on Sunday morning while I got you here. You know, I'm not ruled by the clock. And I could preach. You know how much easier it would be for me to preach you a 30-minute sermon? You know how much stuff, less preparation I'd have to do? You know, it'd be a lot easier on me. But I do it because I want to give you as much as I can to encourage you while you're here. Okay? Because as soon as I say amen, go get the coffee pot, go get the cookies, go get whatever else is back there. Enjoy yourself. I want you to be as loud as you want to be. You know, I like the rumble of voices. And have fun, because that's what that time is for. I want you to enjoy yourself. I think life is more than just the church service, but I believe the church service is very important for all of us. You never know what the Holy Spirit wants to say to you. And especially, what if your neighbor, the Holy Spirit, wants to say something to them, and you just went back there and got a cup of coffee, and you're stumbling over them, getting back to your seat? Not a good idea. Not a good idea. Y'all still love me?
Yeah.
You going to be on time?
Yeah.
Yeah? I got a couple of amens out of that. Thank you, Evans. This is a state of the art, the church address. I don't plan on bringing this up again, all right? So you could still. The next thing is a taser. That'll be my next step. You know, children turn out just like their parents. And the people who come to this church, the next generation, will be just like us. Whatever we build, that's what it'll be like. I believe this is a great church. I really do. I've been in a lot of churches. I've seen a lot of things. I believe this is one of the best fellowships I've ever been in. You know, and I say that. You know, not because I'm the pastor, I'm trying to curry favor with you. If I wasn't pastor of the church, I'd come to this church. I really would. I like it here. I like the people here. I like the atmosphere. I like the message. I like the way things are done around here. And so I like it. I think it's a great church. And that's a great part because of you. Not everybody likes it here. A lot of people left, you know. They, for whatever reason, they couldn't take the message. You know, I don't know why. Maybe they didn't like you. I don't know why. I like you. You know. I don't know why they wouldn't be here, but they left for whatever reason. And God bless them wherever they go. But this is our church. We've made a decision. You have made yourself a member of this church. Treat this church like it's your church. Okay? This is not my church. This is your church. And we're entrusted with it. God put this in our hands. And what it is what we make it. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Next week, God willing. There we go. Come on. There you go. Next week, Back to the Future, Genesis and Beyond. All right, you'll have to come next week and see what that's all about. I'm going to start a new series, and we're going to make some hop around in the book of Genesis and look at some stories in the past and how they've been unfolded today. Okay? Sound like fun?
Yeah.
All right, let's all stand. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Father, we thank you for this place called New Beginnings Church. Thank you for inspiring and pushing me, the Lord, to even have a concept of starting it. And thank you for this past year you've given us. Father, we look forward to all that you'll do this year in us, through us, and for us in this fellowship. Keep us safe. Let us have a great day today. Watch over us, especially all of those who are sick and need your divine intervention. We just pray for healing and encouragement. And we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
You're dismissed in the name of the Lord. If you need prayer, I'll be up here to pray with you for a few minutes. Otherwise, you are dismissed.